Welcome to Messy Business, the podcast that will help you change how you work, not who you are. This is where we talk honestly about thinking clearly, making better decisions, and building a business that actually feels good to run without hustle, hype, or pretending everything's fine. I'm Libby Langley, business coach, author, optimist, realist, and self-employed since 2011. Here's this week's episode. Hello, welcome to another episode of Messy Business with me, your host, Libby Langley. I hope you are well today. So I want to talk to you today about something that might sound a bit odd coming from someone who works with business owners, but more clients is not always the answer. Absolutely adding more and more and more and more and more people in can be a really bad thing sometimes. It can be really overwhelming. It's often what makes things feel more difficult, more confusing, and a bit out of control. You know what it's like if you've just got people messaging you all the time wanting things and, oi, 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 you know, I just feel stressed at the very thought of it, right? The more clients you have, the less time you have for actually kind of running the business and thinking about the business. So if you've been thinking, I just need more people through the door and everything will sort itself out, this one is for you. I think there's a default belief that if I had more clients, I'd make more money and everything would be fine. But it's, you know, it sounds logical, right? Of course. But it's not necessarily true. Because adding, just arbitrarily adding more clients, it gives a load more pressure. It actually means that there's more delivery time, so less kind of flexibility in your diary. It probably gives you more admin. And it will show more cracks in the business. And I think that it's the default thing because the problem with any business or any business owner, you know, if asked, what's up with your business kind of thing, or what's not working for you, is I need more income. Except people don't generally say, I need more income. They say, I want more clients, or my marketing isn't working, or something like that, that translates to people like me who see under the surface and into, you know, there ain't enough money left at the end of the month. And when you look at it like that, it isn't, you know, one of the obvious things is to say, well, I just need more clients coming in. It's like, yes, but also maybe no. Because if you already feel a bit overworked and a bit stressed and all this stuff, adding more people to the mix ain't going to make anything any better. Because as we all know, as much as we adore our clients, if we didn't have any at all, life would be much simpler sometimes. And I realised there wouldn't be any business at all. But, you know, you'd basically be retired. But yes, that's where simplicity comes from, isn't it, right? But the real issue, I think, underneath all the surface is not about the volume of clients. It's about the fact that the pricing isn't right. You know, your pricing isn't right. What you're charging for what you do is not right. You might be over-delivering against what you're charging people. And it might be that you really like doing little extras. And that's great. And I, you know, don't want to take that away from you. But those little extras actually have to be factored into the cost of the business. And the cost of, you know, time is also a cost in there too, right? That you can't do lots of little gifts or lots of, oh, I'll just get, just do an extra call. Yeah, I'll just respond to that message. All of that needs to be factored into the pricing model. So it's not that you need more clients. It's that you need to be more realistic, perhaps, at the amount of time, energy, and effort you're spending on each client that you currently have. And so a good exercise there is to work it all out, you know, just to be really honest and truthful about the amount of time that you are spending with a particular client. And you know, there will be those clients who just drain the living anything out of you, right? We've all had them. And they're probably, you know, they account perhaps for a small amount of your income. But if they're really, really demanding, then it's just not worth it. So working with a client recently, one of my business sought outs, and she said to me about a client that she's got that, you know, she's booked a few bits of work with her, but she always wants more. She always tries to extend each session just by, oh, before you go, can I just, kind of thing. And she'd paid a deposit for another session that she was going to have, and then she cancelled it and, you know, wanted to do it another time. And it's like, actually, I said to my client, could you just give the deposit back and move on and not work with that person anymore? And it's a really tough question to ask because you actually are giving away money, but the time and energy and effort and how, you know, kind of her heart sank when she started talking about this client is like, yeah, I don't know. You probably don't need that bad juju in your life. And it does open space. It's a really brave decision to say, I don't want to work with this person anymore. Actually, I don't like doing this. No, I hate you. Go away, leave me alone. to quote Lily Allen, then... But it's what it brings, what it allows to bring in. And if something is holding your energy and holding your space and taking too much out of you, then perhaps getting rid in whatever terms there are according to contracts and all that stuff, right? But maybe getting rid is actually a good thing. And if it's you over-delivering and perhaps kind of feeling guilty that, well, you know, I could solve everything overnight, so you do solve everything overnight, or actually they've paid for this, but, oh, my God, they need this, this and this. It's, you know, that's on you to not do that, because I think that's kind of a curse of those of us that are quick to see things and quick to sort things out and can do a lot of stuff, can help with a lot of things. You know, I can too. I can talk about pricing and client structure and boundaries and email marketing and I don't know, just about everything, right, in a business. And so I have to rein myself in. I have to not do that because that's not what people are paying for, unless it is what people are paying for, right? Which is why I like offering my business sort outs. I really like those because basically they can be anything that you need because it's a business sort out. So there's lots of flexibility for me. And it means that I can not limit myself to what I support. And I find that very liberating. And it's a far better service for my clients. It means they get everything and there isn't anything that I'm, oh, I don't know, like I don't have time to deliver that or time, whatever. So spending, you know, if you're spending too much time per client, either by over-delivering what you do or by not having boundaries for what they can ask for you, you can change that. You can change that. And that will immediately show you what's not right. So either that you're not charging enough per client because they all want more or need more. So therefore you have to charge more in order to be able to deliver more. Or you have to stop yourself doing that and just say, nope, this is what you get. And then you can get more people in. So it's generally speaking about the pricing not being right and the boundaries not being good enough. And also, I think messy delivery. You know, if you're really not clear about like scope creep and things like that, or what it actually is that you're doing and you're delivering for people, it's not good. It's not easy for you to work like that. And it's not easy for them to client like that. We all need to know exactly where we stand with things, or it is just flipping hard work. So if you're adding bits in or, oh, goodness me, you know, just not being clear and not giving ETA, SLAs, what am I talking about, ETAs, or driving somewhere, SLAs, you know, the service level agreement, what is actually delivered and when, crucially, then you will get people saying, oh, I thought it was going to be next week, or oh, why haven't I got that yesterday, and all this stuff. And you can absolutely do the stuff today, but you have to charge accordingly for it. It all comes down to to boundaries, right? So if you did an honest audit on yourself, on your clients, on what you like doing, what you don't like doing, who you like working with, who you don't like working with, who and the issues of the don't likes, you will actually already have a far better business. You'll actually already be in a much clearer position to know what the problem is with why you feel that you just need more clients, right? And you'll also be able to see, oh yeah, maybe I can see why that isn't really the answer. So, because what you do by just adding more people in, right? You're scaling the problem. You're scaling the problem, not fixing the business. And fixing the business is far more important, because even though it means a temporary period potentially, what comes out of it is a much stronger, more sustainable, more efficient and effective and profitable business. And that's what we all want, right? So I have done this quite a lot of times. I've focused a lot on more clients, more clients, more clients, more clients. And it doesn't, I can think back of some really awful people that I've worked with. And there was one way back in the early days. You know, I don't think I'd even got my office by then. So I think it was within the first 6 months or so of having the business. So we're talking 2012, this would have been then. And I can remember I worked with a web company. She did pay monthly websites. So you paid her a monthly fee, really, really inexpensive monthly fee. And you got your web designed for that. And so it meant that you didn't have that big upfront cost with websites, and you got some changes and maybe got a blog written and, you know, various things with it. And we worked on a referral basis. So I got a certain amount of money each month for people that I sent through to her. And I kind of was the go-between. I talked to the client and then fed stuff back to her, which was fine. Oh my goodness, I did not filter people properly, because I think I was just, wow, this is a great extra service. Let me do all of these things and add it all in. And I knew her through networking, and I met someone else through networking who wanted a website. Great. Can you come and see me in the evening? Well, I don't really want to work evenings. Well, I need my husband to be there too. Okay. And why? Well, I was young and I was young in business, and I was naive, and I wanted more clients, right? I was building, I was growing. It was all really exciting. Let's get more people in. And so I went to see her in the evening and saw her husband, and he wanted two websites for the price of one. No, you're not doing that. Stuck to my boundaries on that. And basically I ended up dealing with him, even though she was a beauty therapist or something like that. And he ran a manufacturing company, I think, and ended up dealing with him. And he was very challenging to work with. And I remember one time I was walking back on a Saturday morning. I was walking back home. I'd been into town in the morning. I was walking through the park, and he rang me and just gave me an absolute earful about stuff, because there was a tiny typo on one page on the website. And yes, that typo needed fixing, absolutely. But he could have sent me an email. But no, he rang me on a Saturday. I answered the phone like an idiot without my own boundaries set up. And he just kind of gave me this tirade. And I fairly swiftly after that, I ended the relationship. I can't remember now, honestly, if I handed them directly over to the web person or what happened. But I know that I extracted myself from the situation. And I learned a really harsh lesson from that, just adding more people in, you know, if there's a red flag, your spidey senses are kind of going up, you need to listen to that. Because the amount of stress that he caused for a relatively low amount was not worth it. It was just absolutely not worth it. And then there was another client. This one is hilarious. When I had my team and we did a lot of social media management for people, when I kind of ran my business, part of my business as an agency as well as my consulting, recommended by another web company. This is not about any web designers. They've all been fantastic, the people I've worked with. But they did his website and said, oh, we need some support with his social media. So we took him on as a social media management client. And what he did was, oh my God, I can't even believe I'm going to admit this. What he did as a company was he sold pants, knickers that had been worn. It's so funny. It's so gross. But anyway, and he had a business, I think, I never went to it, but I think he had a kind of webcam business in Birmingham somewhere. And he got the people on the web. It was the things that the people doing the webcamming. I mean, oh my God, it brings up so many questions about kind of, you know, modern day slavery and trafficking. I'm not saying he was involved in any of that, but I don't know. And anyway, we were responsible for the social media. So we just got sent a load of photos and we had to do captions and put links in and all that stuff. And it was relatively straightforward what we did. But we got involved with that in my team. And it was the guy who worked for me who did that. Us women kind of stayed out of it. But shouldn't have taken him on as a client because I didn't really agree with a lot of the... I mean, all kudos if that's how you want to make your money and do it on OnlyFans, that's absolutely fine. But I think it perhaps wasn't, it didn't align with our values as a company, and he didn't align with our values as a company. And, you know, I can't remember how long, maybe 6 months we worked with him. He was a rubbish payer. This was when I used to invoice at the end of the month. I didn't get the money up front, which I have done since that day. So I learned another valuable lesson. He didn't pay 1 month and said he was going to pay, didn't pay, blah, 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 blah. And I ended up taking him to the small claims court and he still didn't pay. And he got a CCJ and didn't seem to care about it. So anyway, the moral of those two stories are listen to any red flags you've got and make sure that your business is set up for you first and foremost. The clients are great, but we don't, you know, it's not a charity. And even if you are a charity, you've still got to have it, you know, you've still got to have your income and all that and deliver against what you're supposed to be delivering against. But it is really important that just any old client, more clients, is not a blanket answer to anything at all. Because they've got to be the right clients and they've got to pay you. And they've got to pay you according to your terms and according to what it is that you're actually doing for them. And it's got to be within your boundaries and your parameters that you set. You are perfectly entitled to say, that's not how I work. This isn't going to be a good fit for us. So how about you work with so-and-so, I can recommend whatever. That's absolutely fine to do that. Yeah, so it, I'm great on paper. My experience, certainly, it looked great on paper, these clients, but it just didn't feel great for a number of reasons and wasn't actually that profitable. One of them wasn't profitable because it was an absolute load of work and I was getting grief at weekends and God knows what. And the other one wasn't profitable because it didn't bloody pay. So those are real lessons. And since then, since both of those experiences, I changed how I vet people, I suppose, and I changed the way that I work with people and how I invoice people. And I've always been really strict on that everything gets paid up front. It doesn't matter if you're a corporate or who you are. The only time I will deviate from that is if it's somebody like a local authority and I've had a purchase order number and therefore I know I am in the system because I know I will get paid because they have processes and procedures and I've worked for local authorities and that before, you know, as an employee over the years before I started my business. And I've worked in the public sector and I kind of know how it works. So that's the only time that I will take a purchase order number as a promise of payment. So I'm really strict on that and it's fine, whatever, doesn't matter. Don't care if you don't like it. Let's not work together then. Because to me, it's more important than just having the client on my books. So yeah, I hope that those are useful lessons and truthful lessons for you and give you a bit of confidence to perhaps change a few things that might not be kind of quite right for you. And, you know, might like shift your way of thinking a bit and give you the confidence to actually do things a bit differently, because you get to choose, right? This is your business. You get to do it the way that you want to do it. And there's a really uncomfortable truth about running a business, that, you know, you can be fully booked and still not be making good money. Now, it really sucks because it's hard work. You know, it is hard work. I know that when my client work, I put a lot of mental energy into it, because that's where all my magic happens, is in my head. So I might not show up with, I don't know, beautiful printouts or whatever people show up with. But I show up with my brain, and it's very, very draining to do all that, to just carry all this around all the time and have it like your mind palace about what the information that people might need. And so people need to pay for that, because it's based on all my years of experience in life and in business and all the thousands of business owners that I've worked with. And so I have a very lean business in terms of material, because it's all in me. And so that doesn't make it, I could never sell my business, right? Because I can't sell myself or my brain. But while I'm delivering, it does take a lot of energy, and you will take a lot of energy in what you do. And yours might be a lot of prep for the work that you do rather than in the moment stuff, but it still all needs to be factored into the way that you charge for stuff. And your work might take a lot of time and energy, you know, whatever your business, however you deliver what you do. So you can be fully booked and still not be making good money. So that's when you need to come back and look at whether your pricing is right, whether the clients are right, whether your boundaries are tight, whether you're over-delivering, whether you're allowing them to creep more stuff in. And also as well on that, you know, another bit of uncomfortable truth is that you can be busy and still not have a good business. You know, busyness is not the blooming measure of any kind of success whatsoever, because being busy is, I don't know, it's such a weird question. I've done an episode on this before. So have a scroll back and listen to that. But, you know, being busy is not a measure. When people say, how's business? You busy? And it's like, well, no. And they go, oh, right. Oh, it's like, yeah, but I make a really good living from working not that many hours. It's like, ha-ha, I want it life. I want a business. So, you know, you get to choose what and how you actually do things. And I think that's just really so incredibly powerful there. But what actually fixes this scenario, this situation of why more clients isn't the answer, is looking at how your business actually runs, taking it back to the beginning, taking it back to the foundations, finding out what's working for you and not working for you, doing a kind of sensible cost analysis on stuff, but also just saying, what do I really want from this business, and what is it actually delivering to me? Do a list of pros and cons, yeses and nos, goods and bads. And from that, you can start to shape and change the way that you work. You need to do that with each client as well. What each client actually costs you, you know, time, energy, attention. How it does that factor in, or how does that multiply out as an hourly rate? You know, if you charge someone £50 for something that takes an hour, and you think, oh, I've earned £50 an hour, but actually you've got travel, you've got prep for the session, you've got follow-up, you've got all the marketing that it takes to get the client, you know, you've probably got 5 to 10 hours for 1 hour of delivery. Therefore, you're earning £5 an hour. So that's the way to think about this. And that will just, you know, you don't need more clients. You just need to do a better pricing structure or a more realistic pricing structure. Or don't put as much time and energy into it. Sorry, effort, you know, I don't know. You've got to care, right? You've got to do a good job. So that's the way to do this. And then you might find that you don't actually need to have more clients. You just need to put less into each one, or, you know, think about it less, worry about it less, and trust yourself a bit more. Yeah. And you'll find out from that what needs to change in the structure of your business, not necessarily the volume, the structure of how you work with each client, sorry, not necessarily the volume that you have. So you might find that really you're delivering by twofold. And if you just deliver what is actually required, then, oh, you're doing a brilliant job, your client's happy, and it turns out you're making more money. So then you do actually have a bit of space for new clients, but they're the right kind of clients at the right kind of pricing point. So the shift in this is from how do I get more clients to how do I make this work properly with the clients that I already have? And then how do I scale that, or how do I change what I've got? Most people do not need more clients. They need a better pricing, delivery, boundary, structure, and therefore a business that works better. So you get to choose, you get to decide, you get to control this narrative. Okay, off you go now and make your business brilliant by doing some hard work behind the scenes and having a word with yourself and getting rid of those crappy old clients. You don't need them. All right, off you go. Lots of love. Thank you for joining me. I'll see you next week on another episode of Messy Business. Bye. Thanks for joining me for another episode of Messy Business. If this episode made things feel a little clearer, come and tell me. I'm over on Instagram at Libby Langley. Until next time, remember, you can change how you work without needing to change who you are.